Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we've got a special guest chef in the house. Mr. Dennis Harness is back, and I'm going to go ahead and get my beautiful co-host, Miss Amy. How are you doing today?
Well, there's a full moon, and I'm thinking we need to talk about the moon and what does it mean.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Is that true?
Who can do that for us?
Let me get my ass out. Is that true? There's a full moon. I haven't checked on that. I thought that was a little while ago. Okay. Anyway, well, Dennis, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Yeah, great to hear your voices. And I just actually got together with Amy last year. So nice to see her. And it's been 4 years, I think we were seeing since I've been on the program.
That's just crazy. Yeah, that just feels so crazy. So just a little bit of a backup. If you go to TC312, which is actually at the transformation-cafe.com, great place to go check out our original show with Dennis. And oh my gosh, he just packed full of all kinds of great information about the difference between Vedic and Western astrology and just all this different kinds of stuff. But for people who don't really know anything about Vedic astrology, I'd love for you to just give us a quick 101 on what we're talking about, and then we'll jump into other kind of aspects of what we're thinking about talking about tonight.
Well, and what got you interested in it, and you know, what the heck is it?
Yeah, well, you know, it was actually back in 1980, which kind of dates me, 40 years ago when I first got introduced to Vedic astrology. Or at that point, it was called Hindu astrology, and it's the astrology of India. And it's based on what's called the sidereal zodiac, or more of an astronomer's point of view. So, for example, tonight, you know, there's that beautiful full moon. It's called a supermoon because it's so close to Earth. That's why it's so big and large and just really glowing in the eastern horizon there. If you look out tonight, actually, it's full moon was about a half hour ago, so we're just spot on. But the idea is that moon in Vedic astrology is in the sign of Virgo. And in Western astrology, it would be considered in the sign of Libra. So Vedic astrology is based on direct observation. So the actual moon is in the constellation of Virgo. So I always say, why would we deny what our eyes see? So the idea is that when I was introduced to it 40 years ago, I was so naive, I didn't realize there was a difference between the system of India and the system, you know, in the Western world. And I met a man named Chakrapani Ullal, who was kind of my Vedic astrology guru. He ended up being that for me. And he did my chart for me. And a little bit into the session, he said to me, you will be married twice. And I hadn't even been engaged once. So it was a little disconcerting. sure enough, his prediction came to pass. I just wished he would have told me to wait. And then about 20 minutes into the session, he said, I know your mind very well, perhaps better than you. And by the end of the session, he convinced me that there was some truth to that. But anyway, the astrology of India is a very predictive system. It focuses a lot on the moon rather than the sun sign. So the moon takes precedence over the sun. And the moon changes signs every couple of days, so it's a much more sensitive aspect to the chart anyway. But there's a number of other features to Vedic astrology that are unique in that it's, beside being based on the sidereal zodiac and emphasizing the moon, there are what are called the dashas or planetary cycles where a planet has a strong effect for a number of years. And this is based on the moon position at birth. And these dashas, in order to fulfill all nine of them, it takes 120 years. And again, where you start in sequence is based on the moon position. And according to other animal species, we should live to about 120. But because of our, you know, pollution and other factors that play in, and diet, nutrition, and other lack of exercise and other factors, we don't quite make it to 120. But the idea is that the Vedic system is very much emphasizes these dashas, or these planetary periods in one's life. And then it has the transits like Western astrology, and so there's that is consistent with both systems. There's the aspects between the planets, which are similar in both systems. But again, we do see that I find the Vedic system for me is kind of like, well, I use the analogy that Western astrology is like the waves on the ocean, and the Vedic system are like the undercurrents or riptides or sometimes the tsunamis in life. But I'm a neo-Vedic astrologer in that I like Western astrology as well as Vedic astrology. And I, for example, I use the outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, which a lot of traditional Vedic astrologers from India do not use the outer planets. So I take certain aspects strongly from Western astrology and weave them into the Vedic system. I'll give you an example. We had, at the start of this year, around January 11th, we had a conjunction between the planets Saturn and Pluto. Saturn being structure and grounding and discipline, and you could say big business and commerce and government. And then Pluto being a planet of transformation, growth, death, rebirth. So we knew going into this year, into 2020, that there were going to be some big changes. I would have never predicted this epidemic that we're going through, this pandemic that we're going through. But still, in hindsight, you can see this kind of connection. So it's interesting, the name for Saturn in Greece is Kronos, you know. And then one of the connections with Pluto is Pan, who's connected with Hades or with the underworld. So we have pandemic. So even in the meanings of these two planets, Pluto and Saturn, we see the connection with the coronavirus and pandemic. And this last time when these two conjoined was in October of 1982, which was during the AIDS epidemic. So these two only come together, you know, once every, I guess it would have been about, 38 years ago, you know. So, you know, they don't come together that often. So this is a major factor that kind of initiated us into this year, into 2020. And so
that's fascinating.
Key theme with that would be new social rules. And we definitely are experiencing some new social rules. But I'm an optimist. I think in the Vedic system of astrology, the sun is going to go into Aries on April 14th. And when it goes into Aries, that's a fire sign. And, of course, we're in the spring and heading towards summer and all that. So hopefully there will be some truth to the fact that with the warmer weather, the virus, you know, that can lessen as we go through the sun in Aries, which will be there for about a month. So that may help with this whole being more favorable outcome that we're going into as we move into the second part of this month. So that's a couple of things. Another aspect in Vedic astrology is we emphasize what is called Rahu and Ketu. Rahu is the north node of the moon, and Ketu is the south node of the moon, and they're connected with eclipses. And when this eclipse energy, the last time it occurred in these signs was 18 and a half years ago, which was during the 9/11.
Okay.
So, I know, and so the time before that was in 82, which was the AIDS epidemic, which coincided with this Saturn-Pluto conjunction. And then before that, 18 and a half years before that, was JFK's assassination. And then finally in 1945, the other time that this occurred, the previous time, was the atomic bomb in Hiroshima. In Nagasaki was August of 1945. So the good news is this Rahu, this north node of the moon, is leading the section of the zodiac that's connected with these challenges on April the 22nd. It's moving as we have a new moon around that. And so, again, I'm a eternal optimist, so I'm hoping that that'll help to shift the energy somewhat, and maybe we'll have the the flattening of the curve, so to speak, that we've been talking about for the last, you know, month or so. So that's, that'll help, I think.
So, Dennis, when you say it's leaving, when is it going to come back? So we're talking another 38 years?
The Saturn-Pluto conjunction, will not occur. Well, it doesn't occur fully again for another 38 years, approximately. Just ballparking.
Okay.
And then the conjunction of these of the nodal axis is every 18 and a half years. So these don't happen every day, and it's just that the two of them would coincide. You know,
wow,
which they coincided before was 1980, around 1982, during the AIDS epidemic.
That's interesting. So if you project us out, and have you been able to look like, say, 3 to 6 months in the future?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I'm not quite as optimistic about is the economic situation, even though the stock market's been doing better the last few days overall. I still think that there's going to be most likely a recession, and that may be going on until we get more towards September, because there's three planets that go retrograde next month, Saturn, Venus, and Jupiter. And sometimes with retrograde planets, not always, but sometimes they can bring some downturn in terms of the economic situation, especially all three going retrograde about a day or so apart from each other. Of course, you know, it's not going to be just this switch that's going to flip on and everything's going to be back to normal. So we're going to have to experience the new normal. And so it may take a few months for that to really reset as we move through the summer. Because one of the things that happens before in September, Jupiter goes what we call direct, and Saturn goes direct at the end of September. And those two planets going direct, I think, could help not only the healing on the planet, but the economy as well.
Oh. So interesting. And one thing that I want to talk about a little bit is how you use your education and your career with the Vedic and Western astrology to help people.
Yeah, my background is I have a PhD in counseling psychology, but don't hold that against me.
We'll try not to.
Sometimes Freud analyzed way too much. Anyway, I would consider myself more of a counseling astrologer. I always say that I'm a psychologist that uses astrology.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
that's really cool.
I use astrology as a kind of a technique that helps me. I consider myself kind of a timing coach is the way I look at it. It's kind of like a spiritual life coach is how I kind of hold my work. So the one thing that's beautiful about astrology is it does give the timing factor. So like I said earlier, you can look at these dashas, these planetary cycles. They're like developmental life cycles in one's life. And you can see the influence of that planet for a number of years. And then the transits also, we were talking about where the planets are now and how they're affecting the chart, also gives kind of some of the timing aspect. My work is primarily, I work a lot with relationship compatibility. I work with psychological aspects of the chart, of course. I look a lot at career, health and healing, and spiritual growth. I would say those are the four cornerstones that I work with mostly is relationships, career, health, and spiritual growth. So again, to help a person to take, I guess the keynote with good astrology is to help the client or help the person take more discriminative action in their life. So,
one thing that I really appreciate about you, I appreciate a lot of things, but your practical down-to-earth use of these techniques and tools. and I know for myself personally, we've done some of this, and I really look forward to doing more of this in the future. There are times when I'm working with somebody that I'm like, go talk to Dennis and then come back to me. And what more invariably happens, they'll have a sense of peace and relief, because when you pull out the charts and you start talking to them, they're like, oh. Like, I know when you have worked with me, it was like a validation, and it really helped me to calm down about things and to prepare for opportunities that were coming. And I really appreciate that, not only for myself, but to clients that I send to you, that it makes it easier for me to support them in their timing.
Yeah, and I really strive for profound simplicity with my work. As you said, as my wife calls me, I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. She calls me Midwestern Mystic. You know, I'm kind of from the show me state. So, you know, I'm pretty practical and pragmatic with how I work with people. Because at the end of the day, you know, if it can't be utilized and brought into the person's day-to-day existence, it's interesting, but, you know, it may not be that meaningful, that helpful in terms of just the pragmatic quality that I try to bring to my work.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
well, and I also want to talk about a little bit that on the last show, before we did that show, I was able to get mine, and also Dennis did my daughter's. And one of the unique things that was about that, too, was it just gave you a different sense of confidence about yourself. Because that's one thing that came out with the reading with my daughter is just a little, it was an empowering thing to be able to like, know how you're wired, you know, and things to look forward to, you know, with things that you could be working on for your life.
I think that it's really what I try to do first when I'm looking at a chart is to try to build on the strengths. Because sometimes astrologers, especially from India, sometimes they can get too negative, you know.
Yeah.
And point out all the difficulties, and the person will leave, you know, with a sense of, you know, doom and gloom. And I think good astrology should always leave the client with a sense of faith and optimism and hope. So, like I said, it's to help the client take discriminative action in their life. I think good astrology, the astrologer is more of a choice revealer rather than a choice maker. I like to build on the strengths and then also point out the areas that the challenges in the chart as well, because you don't want to cheerlead the client off a cliff either. So
I love that.
So we have to.
Well, there's some clients I would like to, but you know, that doesn't work out very well.
Well, I just think it's going to be, gosh, anybody who just feels any interest in getting their chart done, especially with all these shifts and changes going on right now, boy, walking into the next, you know, 4 years. Because I think, doesn't it normally kind of project at least 4 years, if not more, when you are able to look at somebody's chart?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, sometimes you can, of course, you can even look further ahead than that, but usually most people are wanting to look at the next couple of years. You know, that's really the main focus. Although with these dashas, these planetary cycles, you can look even further ahead, you know, in terms of this kind of a bird's eye view or an overview. But again, the idea is it's not meant so much to emphasize fate, but it's to arouse the will to action. To help the person to really, again, take discriminative action in their life, like we've said.
And that's so powerful to be able to have a sense of, you know, the possibilities that are coming down your way and being able to harness that and move it forward. Because, you know, here I'm being a florist and, you know, we are limited to being able to have contact with people. And I'm doing virtual wedding planning right now. We don't necessarily need to have a date, but let's start dreaming about your perfect day and what that's going to look like. Because, you know, once we get that figured out, you know, the date is pretty much just that much more of a special detail that we can put in as we go along. So I think it just works out really great to have, you know, the details of, you know, what am I moon talking about, and being able to move that into something that can really manifest my dreams in the future. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's interesting you bring that out, because one of the other things I do is I set wedding dates based on the astrology. So I pick more favorable times for a person to have a wedding, you know, because it's kind of like the wedding date time is kind of like you can run a chart for that moment. and it kind of gives some of the outcome of the marriage. So all things being equal, it's good to pick a positive time. Like, I'll give you an example. One of the things that we would tend to avoid is a solar eclipse, which we actually had one right around Christmas last year. And it was a little strange Christmas last year. But anyway, the idea is that you wouldn't pick a solar eclipse to have a wedding. And Prince Charles was going to get married to Camilla. And sure enough, a couple of days before their wedding, and it was under a solar eclipse, the Pope died. And they had to postpone their wedding, which was probably just as because it was a really it was kind of an ill-fated start to their relationship or to their marriage, excuse me. So,
that's another reason I could have you as when the people are starting to plan a wedding, I could say, got to talk to Dennis here before we actually get a date going, Grodd.
Well, you just want to pad your bet the best that you possibly can, right, in major life decisions, like starting a business or a partnership. And then it's like waiting until, the time, I love that, a choice revealer. And that knowing that we have more control than we may think we have, but, leveraging those times. So, Dennis, right now in this time that we're in, you said we've seen this before, where things are just really thrown up in the air. Do you have any recommendations right now for people for the next couple months to, to get themselves back on an even keel or at least be ready for opportunities?
I think one of the things that's really beautiful, what's going on now, is that the planet Mars is in its exalted or best sign of Capricorn right now, the planet Mars. And Mars is kind of like the spiritual warrior. And we're literally, in a world war, And so I think the brave people, on the front lines in the hospitals, just amazing and awesome. And just how people, it's brought people together. In terms of, really fighting the good fight. And this sun going into Aries, as I mentioned, April 14th, I think is going to even give more energy to that. And the beautiful thing about this epidemic, this pandemic, is that it has brought people together, just like 9/11 brought people together. Mm-hmm. People, it was kind of like a wake-up call. And people
one thing is, I've been thinking about this myself, and part of this is 9/11 was a different experience depending on what country you were from, right? With this, everybody in the world is affected by this in a similar way. Everybody, unlike anything that I've ever experienced. So it's what I've been getting is that this is really a spiritual awakening, if you let it be, right? That this is really the opportunity, and for me, that's what I'm doing is I'm going through everything right now. I'm looking at all my relationships. I'm looking at all the work I've done my whole life. And I'm kind of mayday. And it's so fascinating to me. I was just talking to this about our mutual friend, Kelly, about that mayday can be a mayday, things are going wrong, and mayday is a celebration, right? So it's what a great restart that would be. And I'm kind of focusing towards having my website updated and doing a lot of things, really, and I'm using this opportunity to do that, to say, all right, Mayday 2020, I'm restarting. And I think, if you can look at it that way, and that we all have a common experience, and how do we support each other in this next phase of our growth as people, in our relationships, in our careers, in our businesses, yay. And I know it sucks. There's a lot of things that aren't a lot of fun right now. But it's happening anyway, whether you like it or not, and how do we leverage it?
Well, the other planet that moved into a favorable sign is Venus, has moved into Taurus, which is, Venus is the planet of love.
Yeah.
And it's bringing families together, in terms of we're actually really spending time with our kids and getting out the Scrabble board, at night and, just having time, with family, which is most of us are so busy with our lives, we don't even have the time to be in the present moment. So the Venus is going to be in Taurus throughout July till the end of July. So it's
Very
favorable time for creativity too. and coming at things like, you know, like you said, being more creative about your website and writing can be an excellent thing to do, or art, music, you know. So it's a beautiful time in terms of that. And there's also planetary connection, April 24th, where there's Venus and the moon are coming together in Taurus, a beautiful sign. And there's just some beautiful energy actually coming into the planet as we move towards the latter part of April. I'm hoping that'll bring some healing.
So great thing to look forward to, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, there is. And I love, you know, really, how do we leverage this? And speaking of writing, Robin and I are going to sign you up to be your the first book in your trilogy on the book club. And we won't set a specific date yet because it's not quite ready.
we were
talking about it before we went live tonight, just to kind of say, you know, hey, what's going on with that karmic code? Yeah. but that's all good. And I'm excited because, Dennis, you were saying that you're going to be going on a retreat and you've got plans of working on that the next month, so that'll be perfect.
Well, I think now's a good time. Like what we're talking about, supporting you, Dennis, and something that we know that you've had a calling to do. And it's so interesting. I just, you know, really got the pull. We need to, you know, talk to Dennis. And it's like, okay, now is a good time for us to ping people that we care about, that maybe we may be a bit disconnected from, and see what's our connection now. What are we to do, you know, together now or support them in? And so we definitely want to support you in getting this book out because we want to read it. So we're not. It's not an unselfish thing. Our part. So,
no, we're being totally selfish. Yeah.
Exactly. So how do we reach out to each other and go, you know, we've been given this time of creativity, of love for each other. How do we do that and support each other in that?
Yeah, it's interesting because each day I've been calling one or two of my friends and just really reaching out and spending some quality time, you know, connecting with some of my close friends that, you know, sometimes we don't connect with. I one gentleman who was a best man at our wedding, which was about 28 years ago, I hadn't talked to him for 20 years. And I reached out. It was his birthday on April the 4th, and it was just really sweet, you know. So each day, my one of my closest friends' his birthday was today. And so just been reaching out to friends, and it's been really wonderful. Really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So I think you're a great opportunity to do that and kind of relook. And I, you know, last time that when I saw you in person, I guess it wasn't that long ago, that you had talked about the relationship work that you were leaning into doing. So are you doing, you and your wife were talking about working with couples?
Yeah, we have a company here in Sedona that puts on spiritual retreats. We sometimes work with some of my clients that are couples or even single people, where we kind of set up an itinerary for them to go and experience my wife's work. She's a music therapist and sound healer, and a shamanic type healer, taking people out on the land and having them, and then I do their astrology. And so we kind of create a kind of a, what do you say, a tailor-made retreat for clients. So
yeah, and I can't recommend that enough because I've definitely been part of that, and your office is so amazing. So that's just definitely something, you know, when we can travel again, that people, you know, consider doing that. They can get a reading by Zoom from you or on the phone and really, you know, think about how can this support your relationships, your career, your business, and we all get a restart.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that I do work with as well, as I didn't mention, is I work a lot with astrocartography. And what that is it's taking your chart and putting it on a map of the world. And it gives you literally like ley lines of areas that may be better, more auspicious or positive, and areas that may be more challenging. So I do a lot of work with that. With probably about half of my clients, I do that work as well, which actually is one of the techniques that works whether you're using Western astrology or Vedic astrology. So it's one of those techniques that actually kind of bridges the two systems, which is one of the things that I think is very powerful about it.
Yes, I think you're going to be moving.
A lot of people are going through changes in residence, and then also just travel, even travel. Sometimes, too, you can have great lines in a place, and the people from that place will come into your life, and they can bring betterment if you have some positive lines in a certain area. I had this couple, these two women that were traveling to Bali, and one of the women had a really difficult Saturn line that went through Bali, and the other one had a beautiful Venus line. And sure enough, the woman that had the Venus line loved the trip and absolutely enjoyed it, and the woman that had the Saturn line was miserable the whole time, even though they were staying at the same restaurant, eating at the same restaurant, going on the same tours. So I could have saved the Saturn woman a lot of money.
Oh my gosh!
We definitely need to have you on more than once every 4 years. We just so enjoy having you with us, and we so appreciate you and your work.
Absolutely,
Well,
so I think we should plan another show, hopefully in another 4 or 5 months, and see how things are going and what you're seeing going on for that, and that would be wonderful if you can make the time for us. We'd really appreciate it.
One last thing is that I'm still hoping, I'm planning on a conference in Sedona called Sedona Vedic Astrology Conference, and that'll be November 9th through the 23rd.
Okay.
People can go on the website. It's just SedonaVedicAstrology.com and check that out. But we have people, yoga as well as the astrology and mantra and prayer and all kinds of things. So
keep it posted. I've had it on my list, and I definitely had it on a calendar for this year. It's still there, so keep it posted.
Yeah, and we can depending what's going on with everything, we can go ahead and have a promo show on that, maybe in August. We can talk about that. We can start getting people interested in talking about that. That would be great.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Dennis.
If people want to get a hold of me, it's just DennisHarness.com is my website. It's probably the best way to get a hold of me. Through my website.
It's very fun. It's very insightful. And gosh, Dennis is the best guy ever. So why would you want to give yourself the gift that keeps on giving? For sure. Why wait till Christmas? Give it to yourself now. There you go.
Go out and enjoy this full moon tonight.
Yeah, enjoy that full moon. Yep. The super moon.
Yep.
Super moon.
It's super. Just like you, it's super. Thanks, Dennis. Thank you for joining us. And we're going to have him back. So we'll just see him next time when we were able to get all together again. So thanks for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.